Service. This is Pastor Brian Speroni from the Pasco Community Baptist Church, and if you're a visitor with us this morning, we are so glad that you're able to join us. And if you're a family member of mine or a friend of this ministry, we're blessed to have you with us as well. And if you are a regular attender here at Community Baptist Church, I can't even begin to tell you how much I miss you and how much I miss our fellowship together. But I guess for the next few weeks anyway, this is the best we can do, but I sure am glad that you're joining me this morning for this service. I hope you enjoyed the little song I sang. I have to admit to you that as I watch the things that are going on in the world, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. And I'm looking forward to that grand and glorious day when we will see our wonderful Savior face to face. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. In this world, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we need to be faithful in telling others about Him. Now, that's not the sermon for this morning. That's just a little something extra for you. But before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather by way of the internet this morning. And I pray, Father, that what goes on in this service will please you and honor you and glorify you. I pray that it'll be a blessing to everybody who's listening. Lord, we pray for those who have had loved ones pass away from this COVID-19 virus, along with those who've lost loved ones for other ailments as well. We pray that you'd comfort them and draw them close to yourself. And then we pray for those who are sick, some with this virus that's out there, others sick with other problems. We pray that you'd touch them and heal them and raise them up. We pray for our leaders as they make important decisions for our country and for our state. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as they make important decisions that affect each and every one of us. And then we pray for those in the medical profession who are caring for the sick. We pray you'd watch over them and keep them safe. We thank you for their willingness to work and minister to others during this time of need. And for those of us who are well and healthy, we thank you, Lord, for being gracious and merciful to us. And as we consider all that's going on in the world, Lord, my prayer is that this might be a time of spiritual renewal for our country. That as we sit in our home confinement, that we would consider our spiritual welfare and our walk with you. And I pray that as a result, in our nation, there might be a great turning back to you and to your word once again. Now, Lord, again, we ask you to bless this service. I pray that everyone listening will receive something that will be a help and an encouragement to them. And Lord, if there's anybody listening that does not know Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today they would take that step of faith and invite Him into their heart. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible handy, and I hope that you do, if you turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is where we'll be looking this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. So Psalm 42, if you could turn there. And then once you have your Bible open and we've finished reading the passage, keep your Bible open, because this is the passage that I will be preaching on this morning. So Psalm 42 and verses 1 through 5. It says, As the heart, now the heart is a small deer, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Many years ago, in the Our Daily Bread devotional booklet, there was this story. It said, during the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. And one night, as they stayed at a small inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Pastor Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises, the promises about God's provision and God's keeping. And then, going out to the garden, he, to be alone, broke down and wept. He felt that he had come to the darkest hour of his life. But soon afterwards, Pastor Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the presence of the Lord. And taking his pen, he wrote this hymn: Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. Now I wonder this morning, have you ever been where Pastor Gerhardt and his wife were at that point in their lives? Everything seems to be good, and then your life seemingly falls apart. See, the reality is, the mountaintop experiences of life are great. We can feel God's presence so real when we're on top of the mountain. But let's be honest, when we reach the valleys in life, we sometimes question if God is there with us. Well, this morning, I want us to look through these verses from Psalm 42 and consider this thought: how to have peace in a world of trouble. That's our subject: how to have peace in a world of trouble. Now you have to understand, to begin with, that the psalmist David, as he is writing these words, is in exile from the temple. As stated in verse 4, he had worshipped there many times and desired to once again return to the holy place. And he's not just suffering from a craving to go to the temple. He's in great anguish over the fact that he is separated from the Lord's house. That's why he says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. Now I wonder, have you ever been to this point? To the place where there is dis- discouragement and anguish everywhere you turn. Have you been to the place where you think you've reached rock bottom, and then the bottom fell up? I mean, the world we live in is a world full of trouble. Things are bad and seem to be only getting worse, and so what do you do? Well, let's consider David's words here this morning by posing a few questions. The first question is this: are you looking for help? Now, I'm certain that some of you that are listening to me this morning are in the midst of a time of despair. And in these verses, we see a time of despair in the life of David. He was enduring a time of misery. Again, that's why he says in verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night." And you may be experiencing a time of misery. I mean, David was in pure agony, and there seemed to be no relief in sight. He didn't just have spurts of trouble. His was a constant pain. And you may be facing a time of misery in your own life. I don't know. Your family may be in turmoil. Your children may have rebelled against you and against God. Your marriage may be falling apart and on the brink of divorce. Your financial situation may be in dire straits. You may not know how you're going to make ends meet. You may be unemployed and willing to work, but you can't find employment. And discouragement may have set in to the point where you're not even willing to try anymore. Or health problems may have come into your life. You have received some bad news from the doctor and you're not sure how you can face the pain that's coming. And these are just a few of the possible troubles that people may be facing. You may be in a valley, and it seems that no one could possibly comprehend the agony in your life. You may be at a place where you're ready to throw up your hands and quit. Like David, you may be in a place of misery. But not only was this a time of misery for David, it was also a time of uncertainty. In the closing part of verse 3, he says, "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" People ask David, "Where is your God?" And many in our day are asking us the same question. People hear us talk about that wonderful day when Christ will return and take us home to glory. Then some will say that Peter, James, John, and Paul all thought that they would see that day come to pass in their lifetime. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and where is he? And for another example, the lost world will see a Christian suffer, and they'll say to that suffering Christian, "Where's your God? If he's so great, why are you going through this time in your life?" And we may not have all the answers, but we know who the answer is, and his name is Jesus. The one who said in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." This is the same Jesus who is described in Hebrews 13:6 as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Troubles and trials ultimately come with an element of uncertainty. You know, we find ourselves in the middle of them and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know how long they will last or the end result. And this is where faith matters most. Because not only are lost people confused as to why Christians suffer, but many times we ourselves ask the same question, "Lord, why me?" That's David's testimony. He's in a time of uncertainty. But not only is this a time of misery and uncertainty for him, but it's also a time of perplexity. Notice verse 4 in this psalm. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. The lost world and Christians alike will often ask the same question: why do Christians suffer? Now, I'll be the first to admit that there are some answers that we just don't have. But we do have an explanation as to why Christians may face the things that we mentioned earlier. And that explanation is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, where it says this: wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And then notice this next phrase: that the trial of your faith. So sometimes we go through heaviness and different trials as a test of our faith. God's testing our faith. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We may face times of uncertainty. We may ask the question, Lord, why me? We may feel all alone. But it is in times like these that we must remember that although we are uncertain, God is not. He has a plan. He is in control. And he has a purpose for our trials. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says this: but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, that is, mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God has a purpose for our trials. So the question is, are you looking for help? And the truth is, the source of the help you're looking for is God himself. Now, David comes to that conclusion. I think of what David said in Psalm 121, verse 2. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:6, shares the same sentiment when he says, the Lord is my helper. So, are you looking for help? Again, the truth is, the source of the help you're looking for is found in God himself. So trust him. Look to him. As the old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, the second question this morning is not just, are you looking for help? But here's the second one. Are you living with hope? Are you living with hope? Look at verse 5 once again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There is no question about it. Troubles and hardships will come. And in times like this, we must cling to our blessed hope, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in Titus 2:13 to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But what happens is, very often, we're like the apostles after Jesus ascended. We just kind of stand gazing in the clouds, looking for his return in order to find the help and the peace and the hope that we need. I'm reminded of the words of the angel, the disciples, that day that Jesus ascended. As they saw him lifted in the clouds, they stood there, kind of with their mouths hanging open, looking up into the sky, and the angel says this in Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And boy, what a day that's going to be. We are looking so forward to that day when the Lord does return. And as I sang a moment ago, what a day, glorious day that will be. But please remember this. We don't have to wait for him to return to receive peace. He's always present with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to wait for the next life to have hope. We can have hope in this life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can have hope in your Savior. And this involves several things. First of all, this involves a spiritual assessment. Look at the questions David asked in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? See, in the midst of David's troubles, he finds hope. And if you'll notice, at this point, nothing has changed. He's still in exile from the temple. He's still in the middle of the storm. But at this point, he finds hope. And we can find this same hope too. And this involves a spiritual assessment. We must follow the example of David and search ourselves to find the hope that is within us, which of course is the God that is within us. We too can say, why are you cast down, O my soul? That is, why are you acting so foolishly, soul? Hey, soul, you don't have to act this way. Because the truth is, we can have peace in the valley. Even when things are falling apart, when we're in a time of despair and discouragement, we can say, just like the old song, it is well with my soul. And we learn that as we do a spiritual assessment, just like thee. And then, having hope in your Savior not only involves a spiritual assessment, but it secondly involves sweet assurance. At the end of verse 5, he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There is sweet assurance that we can experience in the midst of the valley. We can endure the valley if we'll put our hope in Jesus. So many people look to everything other than Jesus when they're in the valley. But let me tell you this. Nothing, absolutely nothing in this world can give you the hope and joy and peace that comes from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the source of the hope you need. He alone is the source of the joy you need. He alone is the source of the peace that you need. He alone is the source of the strength you need. He alone is the source of the help that you need. He alone is the source of the comfort that you need. And because of this truth, my final question is this. Are you looking at your troubles? Or are you looking at the Lord to handle them? We're told in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And you're told in 1 Peter 5:7 that you're to be casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you look to him and trust in him, it is possible to have peace in a world of trouble. The trouble that you're facing may be difficult now, but it may be an opportunity for God to work a miracle in your life. He may use this time to teach you. He may use this time to purify you. He may use this time to prune you so that you become more fruitful. And He may use this time to teach others through you. Not long after arriving in New Hebrides as a pioneer missionary, John G. Patton and his wife rejoiced in the birth of a baby son. But that joy was short-lived, because soon death took both his wife and child. And John Patton had to dig their graves and bury his loved ones with his own hands. And in writing of this experience, he testifies this: if it had not been for Jesus and the fellowship and grace He afforded me, I am certain I would have gone mad or died of grief beside their lonely graves. But marvelously strengthened from above, this bereaved servant of God found that the God of the Bible was able to sustain him through the heartache and sorrow of his tragic loss. And it works the same way for all believers in Christ. So whatever you face in this life, remember that God is in control. And remember that Jesus cares when you're hurting. And remember that you can look to Him for peace. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It is possible for you to have peace in a world of trouble by trusting in the Prince of Peace. And of course, that begs the question, are you trusting in the Prince of Peace? Do you know Him personally in your heart and life as your Savior and Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Folks, the joy and the hope and the peace that I've been talking about this morning are found only by faith in Christ. In Romans 5:1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have never called out to Christ, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him alone for forgiveness and eternal life and a hope and home in heaven and peace with God, why not this morning take that step of faith? And let me help you, if I may. If you'd like to receive Christ this morning as your Savior, how about praying right along with me this simple prayer of invitation? Just bow your head right where you are and pray along with me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe You died for my sin on the cross. And I believe You rose again so I could be forgiven and have eternal life and a home in heaven and have peace with You and a personal relationship with You as Your child. So I now turn from my sin and invite You into my heart to be my Savior and Lord. I'm not trusting anything or anyone other than You for forgiveness and eternal life. My faith is completely in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you do me a favor and let me know? You can contact me by emailing me at brypams@juno, that's juno.com. Or you can write me at Pasco Community Baptist Church, 111 Church Street, Pasco, Rhode Island, 02859. Or you can call me at 401-568-4963. And the reason I want you to contact me is because I have something I want to mail to you. But I can't do it unless I have a postal mailing address. But if you'll contact me, I have a little pamphlet for you. I have a pamphlet that I wrote many years ago that I've recently rewritten and updated called Water for New Sprouts. It's a simple guide to help Christians get started in the right direction in their walk with God. And I'd love to mail you one free of charge. So if you'd like a copy of that pamphlet, contact me with a postal mailing address, and I'll be glad to send it to you. Well, it looks like we're going to be meeting by way of the internet for a few more Sunday mornings at least. And I hope that this service was a blessing to you. And I hope you can join us again next week at this same time on Facebook. At the end of this service, this service will also be posted on our church Facebook page, or you can listen to an audio version on our church website, pcbcri.org. Just click on sermons. And then it will also be posted on our church YouTube channel. Make sure you go to YouTube and type Pasco Community Baptist Church. There are lots of community Baptist churches out there, so type Pasco Community Baptist Church and it should take you right to the video. Well, hopefully again you can join us next week. But in the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and remember, keep your eyes on the Lord. God bless you.